Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. On this Thursday afternoon, our thanks to John Stroh and also to Todd Bartley for being on the show. Action-packed as always. And today's show is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com. In the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, properly utilized again today. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our phone line open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. So on that hotline today, what do you think about the – it's only an idea. Okay, I don't want people to go over the edge here. They're just throwing out ideas about the power that a commissioner should have. And one of the things that was thrown out there, giving the commissioner of the Big Ten power to fire, you know, suspensions and so forth are part of it, but also the power to fire. Now, again, it's only an idea. What do you think about that? At 1-800-795-9565, is it the right direction? Is it an overreach? Is it an overreaction? What is it, in your opinion? 1-800-795-9565. Again, I think the only people that can hire or fire happens to be the entity that does the paying. The one you fill out the W-4 for, the one you fill out the I-9 for, they can do the hiring and firing. Now, can you suspend them as an entity? Yes. Can you suspend them for 5 years? Sure. Expect to be sued, but you can. I mean, that, to me, that's the entity that must do it. Is, you know, and let's face it, if it's really bad, it's egregious, whatever it happens to be at the time, well, in all likelihood, that guy's going to be fired or that woman's going to be fired anyway. So just some thoughts, random thoughts on a Thursday.
I just think you have to be careful. If you decide to give the Big Ten commissioner that kind of power, you have to ask, and I realize that's not a done deal, but let's, for the sake of argument in this discussion, say it has been done. Boy, that's scary. That's a scary amount of power. And then you wonder where the line is. I mean, to me, being able to suspend somebody is the line. That would be the line of as much power as someone, as the commissioner should have in this case. But if you allow them to be able to fire someone, wow, that moves the line. And then where does that line end? Stop moving. I mean, where does that end?
Well, in professional sports, for example, commissioners can suspend without pay.
And I think that's fine. That's fine.
Right. They can suspend without pay, so that's not an issue. I think it's something that it's just on the table. That's all it is. It's on the table.
Leave it there. No, that's fine by me.
Right. You sit down. You sit down, Kevin, and say, okay, what do you think? And I think what I talked about is going to be brought up, saying, hey, look, if it's egregious to begin with, I mean, expect us to fire the guy anyway. But we'll give you the right to suspend him for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever you want to do, and basically say he can never coach in here again. In terms of the ability to fire somebody, I always believe it's the entity that, you know, the entity that hires is the entity that fires. Because you're the one paying the salary. You're the employer. The Big Ten is not the employer. And that's the part that I think needs to be understood. Who's the employer and who's not? It's the way I've always looked at it. The Tiger Woods.
It's a Tiger update.
Is not winning, but played well today. No, 3 under par 67. Royal Lithium at St. Anne's. We had Curtis Strange on the show last week. Remember I asked him the question about every course has its own personality. What's the personality of this course compared to the other British Open courses? He says, Steve, they're all the same. I thought, no, but the honesty was at least, I mean, you know, he didn't give an answer. He just said, look, Steve, they're all the same.
Well, this one,
there's one Birkdale, he says, is a little different because it's in England. Well, this is in England too, but you know that one's down in Sandwich. And he said, that one's different. All the other ones by the sea in Scotland, Northern England, they're all the same, he said.
Adam Scott liked this course today.
Really good player. Right? Adam Scott has been playing in the British Open since he was 18 years old. You realize that?
No, I didn't realize he played that long.
18 years old he's been playing in the British Open. And while Lee Westwood, or maybe Luke Donald, would have that infamous title of best player in the world without a major. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, that's probably a good way to look at it.
All right. Adam Scott has to be in that category as well. I think he's really good. Always have. Oh, and who's this caddy?
Who is the caddy?
Steve Williams. Tiger's old caddy.
I did know that. Now that you mention it, I didn't think about it, yes. But I did know that.
Nicholas Kolsarts, who out of Belgium, who played very well in the U.S. Open, is 5-under. Paul Lowry, the former Open champion, is 5-under. Zach Johnson, former Masters champion, is 5-under. You notice that? Yeah, he is a very good player. He's coming off the win at the John Deere Classic. Brant Snedeker is at 4-under, the American, shot 66. Toshinori Moto from Japan is 3-under. Rory McIlroy is 3-under. Steve Stricker is 3-under. Peter Hansen's 3-under. Ernie Els is 3-under. Bubba Watson's 3-under. Graham McDowell's 3-under. And Eldrick Woods is 3-under.
Well, ask Tiger Woods what happens at the British Open when you don't get off the tee very well. He was 4-under, actually, at one time atop the leaderboard, and then had a little bit of a tee shot issue on 15th in the thick rough. Took him 2 whacks to get out, and he ended up taking bogey.
Right.
I mean, that's how dangerous it is in that rough.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a kick out of Adam Scott said when they asked him about his start. And he said in the media conference, I'm very pleased with the start. Yeah, I would be too. You darn near broke a record. You know, he never shot better than 68. And he's starting off the tournament with a 6-under 64.
Right. Well, Scott had more birdies than anybody. He had 8 birdies on the day. And the Andreas Hansen, who shot a 2-under par 68, was in greens and regulation 90% of the time. But the top guy off the tee was Tiger Woods.
Except
the one that you saw,
yeah,
that was the only fairway he missed today.
Yep, but that shows you how much that impacts the score. I mean, he misses one fairway, and you know that cost him a bogey right out of at the worst time.
Yeah, no doubt. Front nine started out birdied 1, birdied 4, birdied 6, birdied 7. He was 4-under par after 7. Hit the turn 4-under. He shot 30 in the front nine, went all the way through. Then the 15th you talked about, that's where he bogeyed and gave one back. It was the course, by the way, was benign today. Wind down. You could fly the ball to the green. You didn't have to play British Open style where you had to land the ball in front and roll it. Didn't have to do that.
Was a little bit of a couple of low-hanging clouds and a little bit of rain every now and then, but nothing like you would expect at a British Open.
Right, exactly. So Tiger has been up and down. He won Memorial, 21st of the U.S. Open, won AT&T National, missed cut. Now he's at the Open where he's 6th. So that's where he is.
Just trying to check to see what the weather conditions are like for tomorrow.
And?
I'm looking. I'll let you know.
You're not looking fast enough.
Probably true. That's probably true.
The Adam Scott day. Bogeyed 3, birdied 4 when he got it back. Birdied 6, birdied 7. Birdied 11, 12, and 13. Birdied 15, birdied 16, bogeyed 18. So he was one shot away from tying Johnny Miller's lowest major round ever.
Well, let's see. Here's your Friday. Friday, similar temperatures with an 80% chance of rain. Humidity.
All right.
Humidity about 81%. Temperatures, by the way, were about the 60-degree mark or in the 60s today. About an 8-mile-an-hour wind. And then on Saturday, temperatures again in the 60s. Showers a strong possibility. Wind will be again around 8 miles an hour. 8-mile-an-hour wind is not a lot.
It's nothing there.
I mean, and then Sunday, 67. Let's see, the winds are coming back on Sunday. That oh wow, that's nice. 14-mile-an-hour winds on Sunday, so that'll make things
well
entertaining.
Done. Yes, I like it. Like it a lot. That's what the fans like want to see.
Yeah, it's almost like Mother Nature wants to set up Sunday to be harder.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Trade deadline's coming up. I know you are personally concerned about the fate of Cole Hamels. There's word that if he goes out there, he can get better than CC Sabathia might.
Yeah, and you know, there are a lot of teams that would be interested in that and would offer that.
Really? Who?
Well, there are...
Outside of the Yankees,
I was going to say, the Yankees are one of them that would definitely offer that. That was the first one that has...
Texas?
That's come out. Texas has also shown some interest.
Texas would get even for Cliff Lee.
I had heard, and I don't know the truth about this. I'd love to find out about this, but the Dodgers had looked.
All right.
Yeah, because they have new owners and they want to spend some money. Although, again, watching the Dodgers game, watching Dodgers-Phillies yesterday go extra innings, it proves to me why, in my opinion, Los Angeles should not have a baseball team. I mean, there were so many. I realize it was a getaway day game, and it was a middle part of the day. But you look at some of these stadiums here in the East, and even on getaway days, they're pretty filled. There were more empty seats than filled seats. And it's bad enough that in L.A., when the game starts, usually fans are 3 innings late, and then they leave in the 7th inning. Well, this one went 13. By the time the 13th inning happened, there were about 5 people in the stands.
So you now say Los Angeles should not have a team.
No, they don't deserve a team. I didn't say they shouldn't have a team, but the fan base doesn't deserve a team because they don't stay and watch the game. Everybody gets there late, and they leave early. It's not a game. It's an event.
They draw over $3 million a year.
They don't stay for the game. They're not there to watch baseball.
So you want to take the franchise away?
I want to move it.
Where?
I don't care. Move it somewhere where they want to see baseball. I don't know where that is. I haven't thought that far through yet.
Okay.
But like I said, you look at a game like that, and the night before was the same way. In the 7th inning, there were the car lights out the ravine saying bye. And it was a close game.
The Dodgers are 6th in the major leagues right now in attendance. 6th.
I'm not denying that they draw. I'm saying they don't watch
through
it for baseball.
Through 49 dates, they've drawn 2 million. They're averaging 41,000 fans a game. They're playing to 74% capacity. The Phillies are number one, by the way.
The Phillies
lead baseball in attendance. The Phillies average 44,746. They are playing to 103% capacity. There's only one other franchise that's playing to better than 100% capacity, which, of course, is obvious.
But the question is, why do they go to the game? Do they go to watch baseball?
And
no.
By the way, that's the Red Sox. The Red Sox have sold out Fenway again all year. And they're averaging 37,596. They're seventh. Okay? But look at everybody else here. Washington, thick of pennant race, 29,000 the average. The Mets, they play in New York City, 29,000. 70% of capacity.
What are the Yankees?
The Yankees, though, they're right up there, third.
I figured they
42,718, playing to 85% of capacity. Texas is playing to 89%. Okay, Philadelphia, 102.5. Boston, 101.4. San Francisco, 99.4. St. Louis, 95.2% of capacity. Cubs are 90.8 at Wrigley with a terrible team. The Angels, 82% capacity playing in Anaheim. Detroit, 89%. Milwaukee, 83%. Minnesota, 88% capacity with a lousy team. They're averaging 34,000 a game, almost 35. Colorado, 68%. Atlanta, 60%. Washington, 71%. The Mets, 70%. Cincinnati, 68% with a good-looking club, guys. They've drawn $1.3 million so far, $28,800 a game.
But I go back to my other comment. Of all these teams that you're talking about right now, how many of those fans head out the door before the seventh inning's over? The seventh-inning stretch in Los Angeles is pathetic.
Miami, 76%. Arizona, 58%. Baltimore, beautiful park, 59.6%. 27,000 a game. Toronto, 54%. San Diego, 60%. Pittsburgh, having a season of all season. Best home record in baseball, right?
Yeah.
Playing
beautiful ballpark.
66% of capacity.
I think that's because Pirate fans aren't used to seeing them play well.
25,474. Kansas City, 62%. White Sox playing much better than the Cubs, right? The White Sox are playing much better. 56.9% of capacity. The Cubs are at 91%. Seattle, 46.5% of capacity. Houston, 53.8%. Oakland, 62.2%. Tampa Bay, 61% of capacity. Cleveland's only at 44% of capacity. The Indians have the lowest average attendance in Major League Baseball, 19-2, and they're having a decent year in a beautiful park. And Kevin wants to move the Dodgers to Boca Raton.
I don't know if that would be the spot, but my problem is the fact that they are there because it's an event, not because it's a baseball game. It's almost like a social event in Los Angeles.
But what do you want to do?
I don't know what the answer is.
The whole thing is to sell tickets to get people to watch.
I don't know what the answer is. That's the point. I don't know what the answer is. I just know every time I see a game at Chavez Ravine, they try to avoid showing the stands before the fifth or before the third inning and definitely before the end of the game.
Right.
And it drives me nuts. I mean, as a baseball fan, it drives me crazy. It's like, you know, you have a one-run game or a 1-1 game in the seventh inning. Yep, got to go home. Why? Why would you pay that kind of money to go to a game and not see the whole thing? Of course, I don't believe in leaving in the middle of the ninth inning either to get out before the crowd does, but that's just me.
Well, we're all different. I mean, I would stay to the end.
I mean, if I'm going to drop 60, 70 bucks on a couple of seats, I'm going to get my money's worth out of those seats.
Well, no doubt. I understand that. But to say that they don't, they show up in droves. They're there. They may not be at the time you want them to be. You know, and the Dodgers have not had, the last couple of years until this year, have not had a great product on the field. The last couple of years. And let's go. Let's see attendance in terms of up, down. Well, we'll do that in a moment. Let's take a break. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Okay, so Kevin says that Los Angeles does not deserve baseball, that they should move the franchise to Bakersfield.
I don't know Bakersfield, but I'm okay with moving it.
Arizona attendance up 4,100 a game. Atlanta up 2,900 a game. Baltimore up 5,000 a game. Okay. Okay. The Red Sox are down three people per game.
Down
they sell out
people.
Every game. They have 100 fewer 40 fans than last year through 49 dates.
What happened to those three people?
Those three people are I'm sick of Bobby Valentine.
Did they lose him to attrition?
Cubs up 1,000 a game, White Sox down 1,200 a game, and they're having a good year. Cincinnati's up 1,700 a game. Cleveland is down 1,800. Colorado's down 1,500. Detroit's up 7,000. Houston is down 3,700. Kansas City is up 4,000 a game. Angels are down 1,700 a game. The Dodgers are up 4,500 a game. Miami's up 11,000 a game. Milwaukee's down 646 a game. Minnesota is actually down. They're having a great year attendance, but down 4,500. The Mets are down 1,400. The Yankees are down 1,500 a game. Oakland is up 2,000 a game. Philadelphia is down 715 a game. The Pirates are up 1,800 a game. Sarah Bartlett, always on the rise. And she'll have the news next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back to the show, being brought to you by our good friends at Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. Visit us online at rewfinancial.com. Rick is a guy that's know, like, and respect very, very much. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And at 1-800-795-9565, it is the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. Ben is on the line. Ben, welcome. You have some insight into Los Angeles and why Kevin... And why, Kevin, we even think about moving the team to El Cajon?
well, they might as well go to Rancho Cucamonga if they're going there. But Kevin's obviously not been in California traffic where the I-5 doubles as a parking lot. So scenario to get to Chavez Ravine is hard enough. So if you get there by the second inning, you're flabbergasted. So you plan on the third. And then after that, you'd like to get home before the next sunrise, the next morning, so you leave early.
Now, wait a minute. I've been on the Schuylkill Expressway a few times going into Philly. Is that worse than that?
Oh, it rivals it. Traffic in California, and you got to realize you're mixing a lot of cultures, so you're mixing a lot of different driving habits. So believe me, I-5, talk to people, and you'll say it doubles as a parking lot at times. But it is, and of course, you're dealing with Los Angeles, and you know, I think one of the things about the L.A. culture, you got to remember, if you pull up to a restaurant, and if they're not valeting your car, people don't go back to that restaurant. So you have a little different clientele out there.
Well, see, that proves my point,
Ben,
then. They can just move it.
Ben, you have to remember that when Kevin goes over to Wendy's and they don't valet his car, he never goes back.
Well, believe me, Kevin's a connoisseur of a lot of things. And, to get in there and get that spot for the meals, I'm sure he wants that car valet. But, it is interesting, though, when you go through the statistics and you see how the teams that have made, you know, look at the Pirates now at, 66% capacity, probably, if not, the most picturesque stadium in baseball, if not one of the best stadiums in baseball right now. And then you see, you know, what do you do in Kansas City? What do you do in Seattle? You know, how do you make that, you know, what's the marketing, Steve, that gets those fans out? And with this Major League Baseball package, the NFL starting to see it. Will the NBA see it? People are at home watching two or three, four games sometimes, let alone on a weekend. But during an evening, you can catch a couple Major League games.
I think that when I think you outlined it for us, but I mean, let's face it, a guy like Kevin likes the convenience of going to Shikellamy.
Yeah, I do, I have to admit.
Oh, there's nothing, Bam. We're on the way to the Spikes game tonight, and we're going to enjoy it and the Major League Baseball. But some of the people, business guys I talk to, and then some of the fans, especially out California way, boy, they're catching every game on TV. And they're saying, I used to go to 2, 3, 5 games. Now I go to maybe 2 games a year. But, again, that's a marketing scenario for Major League Baseball and other major sports.
You have an event coming up tonight. You're taking the group over to Medlar Field, Lebrano Park, right?
Yep, we'll be there, and look forward to seeing you there. And, boy, I tell you what, Kevin, I hate to put you as the odd man out, but, two announcers tonight, Todd Barlow for the Crosscutters and, of course, Steve Jones for the Spikes. So should almost want to pick up the old radio and have that little earpiece in to listen to the play-by-play.
Well, yeah, at least you get a nice contrast. I mean, you know, Todd will tell you what's actually going on.
Ben, real quick cross-promote. Are you finally off of the Ben Reichle tour of every state in the union and back on the mark tomorrow morning?
Yes, we'll be on the mark tomorrow. The show that merely is the appetite for the Steve Jones show in the afternoon. I mean, there's a couple things in between.
First of all, I'm glad you guys in the morning have finally recognized that. It took a lot of work and conditioning on that one to make you guys finally feel it.
Well, you know, we say we're just merely here to set the table.
And set the table you do, and then Kevin and I come up and we trash the table.
Pull the tablecloth right out.
Well, it's sort of, you know, it's sort of like a you know, it's like a Roman feast for you guys in the sports sense. You're talking about all shapes, all sizes, and all different aspects of the sports game. But hey, Steve, in all honesty, what you bring and you know, to the area of, with the sports knowledge, and particularly in the college side with the Big Ten and Penn State, but then of course the spikes and the minor league baseball and the guests you're having, and you guys had Kelly on, you know, Olympian Kelly Smith from Selins Grove on. I mean, you know, it's the people in our area. It's a great asset to be able to tune in and get that hands-on or local sports with the regional and of course the national flavor.
Well, I appreciate that. We're having a great time. I know that. We're having a lot of fun, and I enjoy the job that Mark and you do every morning. So I will look forward to seeing you tonight at the game and to talking to your group tonight at the game as well.
Well, we appreciate it. I have a couple young ladies that want to pass on something. Here, let me hold the phone back.
Go Spikes!
Steve has groupies.
A couple young fans coming up to enjoy, and look forward to it.
Good.
Hey, and
good.
Kevin, I feel like sending you a plane ticket, get you some tickets to the Dodgers game, and let you sit in traffic and then call in and say how great it is.
I'll be one of five people actually watching the baseball game in that stadium.
Yeah, because it'll be a 7:05 start, Steve. Kevin will pull in about 3:05.
That's about right.
Exactly right, and he'll be burned out by 8:02.
Okay, hey guys,
Ben, you listen to the show, you know darn well. By 3:35, when Bartlett's done with the news, he's gassed.
Well, Sarah Bartlett tells me she has went to Sam's Club or Costco, one of those stores, and got like the 84-pack of 5-Hour Energy because Kevin has to have one every day.
That's each hour. All right.
Hey, Ben, thanks for calling. Got to go now. Bye.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Ben, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. Well, I think he put you in your place.
He thinks he did anyway.
Well, nothing, of course, takes away from experience, Kevin.
You know, I get what he was talking about the traffic. I mean, I've heard him talk about it. I've never been there, I'll be honest with you. I've never been out to Southern California. I've heard people, and I know people that are from the area that talk about it all the time. But, again, it's just getting there late, okay, traffic. Leaving early, okay, maybe the traffic. But the fact that it just doesn't seem to be a baseball crowd is always the thing that really gets me.
Well, how do you know it's not a baseball crowd?
Well, I was listening.
Unless you're in there.
Okay, all right. In watching the game, watching two of the series the last two nights, and one afternoon, I should say, you have the organ play, all right?
Yeah.
Somewhat of a chant gets started. The most I've ever seen at Chavez Ravine, and I've seen many games, I've watched many games on television there, I actually saw the fans do the wave. It was the most baseball-oriented movement I've seen from Dodger fans in Los Angeles ever.
Yeah, but Kevin, look, have you ever been to Fenway Park?
I have not been to Fenway, no.
Look, no organ, no blah, 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 no fireworks, no da-da-da-da-da, charging on it. They don't do any of that stuff. You know what they do? Baseball.
Yeah, but that's part of the baseball experience, too.
I'm telling you, at Fenway Park, which is one of the best baseball atmospheres I've ever been in, they do baseball. They don't do the razzmatazz. They don't do what you're talking about. They don't
understand.
Do the bells. Okay, the bells and whistles are needed in the non-baseball markets. That's where you need the razzmatazz and the place where you're trying to get some juice going. If you have some natural juice going in the place, you don't need to do all the bells and the whistles and the da-da-da charge and all the waves and all that other stuff.
No, see, my baseball experience and yours are two different things.
Yeah, I know. I go to baseball.
Oh, bro.
Seriously. Look, you're too used to, in all seriousness, and I mean this seriously, too used to games at the Vet and too used to games at Three River Stadium.
No, I don't deny
that. Which are not baseball parks. Okay, there are. Now, the atmosphere at Citizens Bank Park is incredible. It is 10 times the atmosphere of the Vet. The atmosphere at PNC Park is probably 1,000 times what it was at Three River Stadium. Because they're baseball parks now. more natural. Seats are all pointed in the right direction, things like that, in terms of sight lines for all the fans. Concourses are big, wide. Food is dramatically changed and better.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing's a better experience at the new park. Citizens Bank is beautiful. PNC's beautiful. They're both better parks than Fenway Park is, but I'll give the ownership of the Red Sox a lot of credit. They have taken an old facility that's 100 years old, and they've turned it into something, and not just a museum, by putting the seats over the left field wall, by putting up the family pavilion, by building the EMC club and things like that. They've done all that stuff. But at Fenway, to be honest with you, it's baseball. They don't do the, you know... All the chances start from the fans themselves. They don't play the bells and whistles over the PA. The only thing over the PA system is announcing who's pitching and who's batting.
Well, see, the way you were talking, though, I was thinking they weren't even doing that. I mean, if they start it themselves, that's great. I'm all for that. That's part of the baseball experience.
Because it's a baseball park.
And I get it. I get it. And that's part of the baseball experience. That's what I don't understand in Los Angeles, because I don't see that baseball experience there. I see that this is the place to be because everybody's here. It's a cool moment to be here. The television cameras are going to be here. I'm going to look good here. I mean, it just doesn't come across as a baseball crowd. It comes across as a red carpet crowd.
I'll tell you right now, they've been going to games out there since 1962. This is the 50th year of Dodger Stadium, and they have drawn about 3 million plus a year, almost every year. I mean, maybe it doesn't sound like a baseball crowd to you, but they show up.
And I am making this judgment based on television coverage, so I should qualify that because I am making it based on what I've seen on television.
Let's get an update on Cole Hamels now. Jason Stark, who has a pretty good handle on Philadelphia. Phillies and Cole Hamels agent John Boggs picked up the pace of contract discussions in recent days, and those intensified talks are an indication the Phillies have started a major push to sign Hamels before the July 31st trade deadline. Meanwhile, clubs that have been speaking with the Phillies say the team has essentially put trade talks on hold and have been focused on signing the 28-year-old left-hander rather than dealing him before the deadline.
That's a good sign.
They want to sign him, and that's their priority, said the official with one club who spoke with the Phillies brass this week. They're not really entertaining offers for him at this point. Another source said the Phillies are now willing to sign Hamels to a 6-year contract, a first for any starting pitcher in club history. For months, the length of the contract's been the number one sticking point in the negotiations. The Phillies initially offered Hamels a 4-year extension last offseason, but they came to the conclusion they had no alternative but to soften that stance as Hamels draws closer to becoming a free agent in the fall. The market for Hamels, obviously deep, especially in the last few months the way he's pitched. The 5-year, $112 million extension signed by Matt Cain in April, which guaranteed him 6 years at $127.5 million when his salary for 2012 was factored in. The Phillies themselves have influenced the market with a 5-year, $120 million deal to Cliff Lee in December of 2010. That was a record for a pitcher at $24 million this season. Although the Phillies' payroll is approaching $178 million, the $178 million luxury tax threshold, and actually already may have exceeded it, the club believes it can find a way to sign Hamels and stay under the threshold in 2013 and beyond.
Boy, that's going to be some creativity.
To do that, the Phillies would likely have to trade away at least one veteran player and possibly more. Other teams say that they have significantly have more interest right now in talking about deals with Shane Victorino, Joe Blanton, Placido Polanco, and Jimmy Rollins than they have with Hamels. The Phillies have also laid the groundwork for trading Hamels if negotiations break down by scouting the farm systems of several teams, most especially the Texas Rangers and Los Angeles Dodgers. But an official of one team put it, the Phillies are not in a hurry to do anything right now except sign Cole Hamels.
That's good. I think that's a step in the right direction.
Yes, it is.
By the way, on the NFL side, Steelers released Jonathan Scott, who started 5 games last year at tackle. Max Starks signed earlier this week, and There is discussion that the Steelers and Mike Wallace are actually talking now, which is a step in the right direction as well, and working to get a deal put together here very soon. They might actually even be close to a contract right now.
Oh, boy, just the ability to see you breathe again will be great. Our number, 1-800-795-9565.
Aren't too many guys to throw to in Pittsburgh right now, so it will make me happy.
Yeah, a lot of guys to throw to in Pittsburgh right now. Dominic Brown. I'll tell you, this Rainey kid they drafted out of Florida is going to be a big third down plus in this offense. Mark my words. We'll come back more of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Very proud to have Rick on board as the Thursday sponsor. You can always call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors Studio, routes 11 and 15 for Sunbury Motors Kia in Humble's Wharf and 4th Street in Sunbury. And at 1-800-795-9565. The Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Kevin has called for the Dodgers to be folded.
No.
Found that to be interesting.
No, I didn't say that.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, we were talking about the potential trade of Jimmy Rollins the last couple of days for the Phillies, which makes you wonder who plays, you know, shortstop in that position, you know, who fills in at shortstop, and what the options are for the Phillies. And I wonder if, and normally plays second, Freddie Galvis, if he would make the move to short. And that's question number one. Question number two is, he's still got about a month left on his suspension of 50 games, which was dating back to like mid-June. So if they do trade him, who plays short?
Call somebody up.
I think I have Charlie's cell phone number. Hang on.
Hey, seriously, call somebody up. I mean, no offense, but there are other shortstops in the organization. I mean, it's every game I've done, they've had a guy standing out there. So,
all right, which one is a better option? Let's put it that way.
Who's the shortstop in AAA? Bring him up.
Yeah, that's a thought.
I mean, then when Galvis is back, then put him out there. Jimmy Rollins is not helping this team. This is not the Jimmy Rollins of his MVP year. Okay, right now he's eating salary and at-bats, and he's not, you know, they can get something for him. I'd deal him. You mean I would. I think of all the guys through all of this, he's been the biggest disappointment.
I guess it would be Fontenot that would probably have to take the reins now.
Fontenot could do it, sure. First of all, you would be about 2 weeks away from Galvis coming back by the time the trade is made. So the timing is not as odd as.
Because I thought about that yesterday as we were talking about the trade and knowing the situation. And Fontenot would be the one they probably have to go to for the short term.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a long-term solution or not.
Yeah. But I think that if they do trade him, I mean, look, just put somebody there until Galvis. I mean, you know, at that point when you trade him, that tells everybody you're not going anywhere this year anyway.
That's true.
Okay. So a warm body there until Galvis comes back, and then put Galvis there. That's his natural position anyway. And so it's, yeah, I think you can get something for him. Yeah, I'm sure you can fleece somebody. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, you were talking about the Phillies trying to stay under the cap, and it means a veteran would have to go. you know, as we've been talking about all week, Rollins has been on the block a lot and has been discussed by many teams, including the Dodgers. Victorino might be an I still think Victorino going to Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh giving the Phillies some middle relief help might be a win-win for those two teams.
Right.
I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if you can make it an even swap, well, but that's a thought that I thought.
The Pirates are interested in two guys. They're interested in Shane Victorino, and they're interested in Justin Upton from Arizona. Victorino is cheaper than Upton in terms of what they have to give up. Simple as that. And the Pirates do not want to give up Jameson Taillon. They do not want to give up Gerrit Cole. And they don't give up Marte. Those are the three top prospects. They don't want to give up any one of the three. And you know what? I wouldn't either. I would not give up one of my top three prospects for Shane Victorino. Just so you can plug a gap in the outfield? Sorry. Pirates are tied for first with Cincinnati. Also, the team that is second among the two actually be the number one wildcard team. Atlanta's the two wildcard team. So that wraps it up for today. Another big day for Kevin, in which he wanted the Dodgers move to Chico, California, because he thought the baseball fans were there, were better there.
I'm not even sure where that is.
It's just north of San Francisco.
Thank you.